Hey guys, it's Allie for the Hollywood Life podcast, and we are so excited to talk about a new couple and a few other things going on in the celebrity world. But first, I want to say hi, Bonnie.
Hello, Allie. Yeah, it's like we're really in the throes of summer, so there's a summer romance going on, and so many summer vacations. I just was looking at pictures of Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom with their little daughter, Daisy, who is so adorable, and his son, and they're kissing. And it's really nice. They've been together like 7 or 8 years.
I know. They're so cute together. It definitely is the summer of love, and we will get into that. But first, of course, guys, we have a great interview at the end of Bonnie and I's little chat here with Neve Shulman today. He is a return guest, the host of Catfish. We talk all about why Catfish is still such a prevalent show. I mean, he's been doing it for over a decade on MTV. People are still getting catfished.
They sure are.
And he has some really interesting thoughts as to why, even within this like modern internet age where you should really be able to figure everything out about somebody.
So tools to research. Of course, you're exposed to a lot more people that you wouldn't have met before.
Yeah.
You're meeting them at a distance. But still, there's ways to check people out.
There's ways to check people out. And I'll let him explain why he thinks that that doesn't happen, but it's very interesting. So I would stay tuned. But Bonnie, like you said, love is in the air, summer of love, between what people really believe is the world's most eligible bachelor right now, Tom Brady, and top model Irina Shayk swooping in, taking the bait.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was only a matter of time before Tom was going to show up with someone because, he is so handsome, so rich, so fit, and so eligible.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, he split from his wife of 13 years, Giselle, several months ago, and it's very definitive. They've got separate houses now. They seem to be co-parenting really well. But yeah, he hadn't been seen dating until there were photographs this week of him with Irina Shayk in his car. And you could see he was like touching her face very gently. And apparently he picked her up at the Bel Air Hotel the evening before, and he was taking her back there the morning after.
Yes. So, and then he picked her up later that day again for another just like date day. I don't know, like they just kept going back to his house, I guess. You know, I think that
worked out well, I guess. I guess they turned out to be very compatible.
Especially, it was Giselle's birthday, her 43rd birthday. She's on a trip in Brazil celebrating her birthday with their kids and her twin sister. And, you know, Tom took the opportunity of having the weekend off from his kids to explore romance. But I think it is very interesting. You know, there's been a lot of reports of a lot of different women, quote unquote, this is from the outlets, throwing themselves at Tom. I had heard about it at that white party that Michael Rubin threw in the Hamptons. And then of course, Irina and Tom were both at the same wedding in Sardinia back in June. And there were reports that she was throwing herself at him, which her reps did deny, but it does sound like that they have been chatting since that wedding. And, you know, maybe she came out to LA to see, cause she's usually New York based, cause that's where her daughter school, Bradley Cooper's here, her ex. And so she seems like she flew out to LA to see if the magic was there.
Yeah, I would imagine that she did. So I doubt she was throwing herself at him. That doesn't sound like the best approach, but they must have been talking. And so they decided to take it to the next level, and good for her. And what I'm glad to see is that, you know, she's kind of age appropriate for him. Is he 45, 46, and she's 37. So it's not like he's dating, like it's not a Leo DiCaprio situation where he's starting to date girls half his age. She's mm-hmm. a mature woman. She's got a daughter. She's had a long relationship with Bradley Cooper, who's her ex. And so they've got a lot in common.
Yeah. What I kind of found really interesting that like came right to my attention was that everybody has been trying to put Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady together. And there's no really facts whether to, if they're interested in each other, if they even really know each other very well, despite like kind of walking in similar circles. And, you know, Kim saying that she has a crush on somebody and she wasn't going to reveal it because she wanted to see if it was, you know, could come to fruition. And everyone was like, oh, it must be Tom. So with that on the back of my mind, remember when Kanye and Kim broke up, Irina and Kanye dated.
Very short period of time.
Very, very short. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm sure she probably was like, oh, he's crazy and stopped. But that was who Kanye was first put with, or not put with, but, you know, moved on with.
Well, she's gorgeous. Him.
She is gorgeous. But gorgeous. You know, Irina, like really going for the most eligible bachelors, like kind of as soon as she can.
I felt that was why the hell not? And yeah. I mean, come on, Allie, if we were single women and we were at a party with Tom Brady, and if he was as nice as he seemed in that 80 for Brady or whatever that was called movie.
Yeah.
We'd throw ourselves at him. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Absolutely.
Rich would want me to.
Yeah.
We'd be like, please do that.
Yeah. What is that phrase where like you're allowed your pass?
My hall pass. Yeah. Wouldn't be my hall pass, but Rich would allow it. He would be like, do it for me and you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And while you're at it, maybe have a baby with him. And then you know, once he knew it was his, like, think we could live on that forever.
Totally. Great idea. You've seen too much. If that's where your brain goes, you're like, I've seen too many celebs do that. So yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see where it goes. There's some reports saying that Irina and Tom are serious. There's some saying that it's a fling. So
don't even know at this point if they're, you know, when you're starting a romance, you don't know where it's going. Like you're into it and you're enjoying it and you're seeing how it develops.
Agreed. But that was some interesting news to kick off the week. And then,
Michelle has to be okay with it. I mean, she wanted
this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She has to be okay with it. And she hasn't been really linked romantically to anybody, but she's been hanging out with that trainer, that gorgeous trainer she's got. You know, she'll find somebody when she finds the right person.
Absolutely. Yeah. All signs point to her being supportive, you know?
Good.
So, you know, some other things that are going on within the world of Hollywood, there were reports and then confirmation that Tori Kelly, the singer, she was hospitalized and is still in serious condition after collapsing while at dinner. And they found blood clots all throughout her body.
Yeah, around her organs. And there was concern that there might be blood clots around her heart. I mean, listen, this is reporting. We don't know how accurate it is. You know, she has not made a statement. I mean, she's in the ICU. And no one has made a statement about her condition on her behalf. And so, you know, we don't know more about it, except that she's in the ICU and that she was taken there from dinner. She's only 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, her husband, though, of a few years posted, he posted a song that she sang with Justin Bieber. And there's a line in it about how it's all going to be all right. So everybody is hoping that that's a message that he is sending to her fans and to, you know, anybody who cares about her. She's a young woman. So let's hope that that is the truth. But listen, you know, celebrities are like everybody else. Things can happen to them. And often they push themselves really, really hard. We saw Madonna this summer. She's pushed herself so hard to prepare for her tour that she completely ignored all the symptoms that she had of an infection. And she ended up being found unconscious on the floor one day and then being in the hospital for several days.
Yeah, no, it's so scary. And exactly, Bonnie, just like you said, I mean, we often forget that celebrities are not invincible and they're human just like the rest of us. And, you know, I think that, like you said, Tori's young and hopefully that works in her favor. I mean, I remember this kind of reminded me a little bit of Venus Williams, who she had had a pulmonary embolism several years ago. And it kind of came from flying a lot. And that happens when you're traveling a lot, when you're on the road a lot, you're sitting, you're in kind of stationary, going from one place to another. And so, you know, I think that it sounds like they were very on top of things. They were able to get her stabilized. She's
getting her into a top hospital.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, our thoughts and well wishes go to her. And also to Bronny James, LeBron James's son, who is 18 years old. He suffered cardiac arrest at the USC basketball practice.
Yeah.
He'll be attending next year. He also is in stable condition, but he was taken from practice in an ambulance to the hospital.
Yeah, well, listen, cardiac arrest is super serious. Like, that means your heart stopped. And luckily, there were people there who, I mean, USC, it's a very big school. It's very professional. They're student athletes, very professional team and organization. They had, I guess they had medics there, and they were able to get his heart going again, I assume, because he, you know, he is stable. He made it to the hospital. And now he's stable and he's out of the ICU. But, you know, I'm sure that he's going to have to just, like, his heart's got to be checked, like every single part of it. He's got to be physically checked because, you know, 18-year-olds don't just go into cardiac arrest. Like, something's going on there.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's very interesting because we have seen this before in the sports world. This happens, especially to basketball players. It's happened a lot. And now they do, oh my gosh, well, it happened at my fiance's high school during one of their basketball games. One of the kids went down and there was a cardiologist, luckily the guy's dad was a cardiologist and got his heart restarted. But like, that it happens a lot to these student athletes, and they have, an undetected heart issue. Yes. And now they do so much testing. Like, I remember having to do like yearly EKGs as a student athlete, kind of after this started happening a lot. And so what is incredibly surprising is that Bronny is like has NBA aspirations. Like, he was probably going to play at USC for a year or two before going into the NBA. He's very good. And they do this testing, especially on the basketball players, because this is so common. So, and I think it's common because they're so tall. And so it takes a lot for their heart to work to like pump.
Right. You also hear about football players, the same thing happening too. And look at what happened to DeMar, where he got.
But that was from a hit. This is from, so this stuff is usually detected. And so to me, what was incredibly surprising was that they had not detected this.
Yes.
Before. And what usually happens to these basketball players that this happens to, they can't play again.
Yeah.
It's a heart condition. It's not like DeMar Hamlin, where he got hit, they had to restart his heart and just get it back into rhythm. And he could play again. Essentially, he could be cleared to play. This is a permanent.
He has been cleared to play, apparently.
Yes. This is a permanent heart condition. If that's what it was, I don't know if, you know, there's something else going on here. But I just am happy that they got him to the hospital and he's stabilized.
He's fine. Well, the most important thing is that he's fine and that he's, but I agree. I mean, there's no way he can get back on a basketball court without having been completely checked out. And yes, it could be some kind of arrhythmia. Mm-hmm. There's also something, I mean, I know a very unfortunate situation of a family where they lost a son when he was in his teenage years from something called long QT syndrome, which is another type of a heart condition that was not detected, that's genetic, and your heart can just stop.
Right.
Yeah. So let's listen. He must feel so much pressure. I'm sure he loves the idea of basketball. His father, it's like the,
and he's very good at it.
And he's very good. He's inherited the genes. He's inspired by his dad and coached by his dad. But you know, the most important thing is his health. And LeBron said he's the first in their family, either of his family or his mom's family, to go to college. And so just to be attending a great school like USC, LeBron was so happy just about that. And, you know, so he'll make his way in academics.
Yeah. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So that's the most important. And so, you know, we'll keep again, our thoughts and prayers with the James family, with Bronny, and keep everyone posted on the situation on hollywoodlife.com. If you guys, you know, want more on these stories, please go to the website, because we're always updating things, always posting.
We get all the latest.
Yes. Well, I think that is it for us today, other than staying tuned for this Neep Shulman interview. And of course, guys, please giving us a 5-star rating, commenting your favorite part of the podcast, what you want to hear more of. We're always listening. So definitely let us know.
Yeah. And which celebs you want to hear most about, because we know a lot about a lot.
Oh yeah. I love that. Know a lot about a lot. That's the motto. Awesome, Bonnie. Well, thanks for chatting, and thank you guys for listening today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hollywood Life Podcast. I am so excited to have a special guest with me today. He's going to fill us in on all things we need to know about car fishing, as he does catfishing, and so much more. So I have Neep Shulman here. Hi, Neep. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Allie.
So good to have you here today. And let's jump right into a little bit about your partnership that you are here to talk about today with Auto Trader and their private exchange and how we can use it. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, so I've spent the last 11 years trying to help people avoid getting catfished, and even more so educate viewers on ways to look out for themselves when it comes to online relationships. I've also always been and continue to be a automobile enthusiast. I love classic cars. I've had a bunch of them. And as a result, I've bought and sold a lot of cars myself. And sometimes you can get really taken. People misrepresent their cars. They overcharge, you know, they fudge the details, whatever it might be. And so similar to entering into a romantic relationship, you know, when you enter into a relationship with your next car, which it really is, I mean, it's a very intimate thing. You know, this is something you're going to use all the time. For a lot of people, it's the biggest purchase they've ever made. You want to make sure that you know exactly what you're getting and that you're not getting car fished.
Carfished.
So I was excited when I found out there was an opportunity to work with autotrader.com to let people know about their private seller exchange, because it really takes a lot of the worry out of buying a used car.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly does it work? It provides pretty much all that information.
It's pretty simple. I mean, basically you go on their site, you plug in what you're looking for, the year, the make, or even just the type of car, proximity in terms of miles. It's a lot like a dating, app, actually. And then it just shows you the listings. But what's great is that in order to create an account as a buyer or a seller, Auto Trader does a sort of verification process just to make sure that you are a real human and that you're not some, you know, known car criminal or who knows what.
Right.
So that's the first step. So everyone on there is verified. The next thing that's nice is that all.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All the cars that get listed have or come with a vehicle history report. So you can immediately see the service record, if there's ever been an accident, you know, title issue, mileage discrepancies, whatever. So that's also really nice. And then, in my opinion, the best part is that the money transfer for the sale goes through Auto Trader's website. So you don't have to worry about showing up to buy some car with an envelope of cash and potentially getting robbed. Or if you're the seller, you know when the funds arrive and are held sort of through the site that they're there. It just takes a lot of the worry and headache out of buying a car. Plus, if you're a buyer and you need a car loan, you can also partner with one of the finance institutions that Auto Trader has built into the site. So it's just like, for me, as someone who has bought and sold a lot of cars using open marketplaces on the internet and know how much time can be wasted and how you can really think you're getting one thing and get something totally different. Like, Auto Trader has taken a lot of the red flags and question marks out of the whole process. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're kind of that good middleman that everybody should have a little bit, you know, like a matchmaker.
Exactly. Yeah, they are. They're kind of like car matchmakers.
Right. Exactly. They do all the vetting. I mean, couldn't ask for anything better, because especially in this age, I mean, we're hearing so much these days about spammers. You know, I saw something crazy the other day about someone like scammers that are changing airport airline numbers and just crazy stuff that really people fall victim to all the time.
Look, I even recently, I was looking for a car for my wife and found one on a, you know, open marketplace, went and looked at it. It seemed great, but I had asked a few times for the vehicle history report. And the guy had kept saying, oh yeah, I'll send it to you. And he hadn't sent it to me. And so I took a picture of the VIN number when I saw the car, and I just got home and I ran, you know, a history report, and I saw that the car had I guess at some point had the odometer replaced, because it actually had way more miles than it was showing. So even though the car looked good and the price was a little too good to be true, I wouldn't have known if I hadn't done that myself. And so people will take advantage of you. And who knows what other potential issues or problems that car had that I might've discovered, you know, down the road. So knowing what you're getting is the first step. Knowing who you're getting it from is obviously important. And then making sure that you're paying a fair price, which is also nice about the website, because it shows you, based on comparable vehicles, if the price that they're asking for is below, above, or sort of average market value. So it really takes a lot of the, you know, mistakes and mishaps and questions for the average car buyer sort of out of the picture, which is great.
Yeah. Oh, well, we love that. And it feels like such a, you know, great partnership for you, considering your background in helping people figure out kind of the background of others, I should say. Tell me a little bit about, you know, it's been 11 years, you've been doing this. I mean, how has the kind of environment changed over those 11 years? Like, in ways people are catfishing, is it happening more? Is it happening less? Because I can kind of see it going both ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because in some ways, obviously, technology has advanced so much now that the ways that you could potentially catfish people, you know, in terms of convincingly creating fake images or altering images or whatever, like, surely has had its hand in some relationships. But what I find so fascinating is that for the most part, the types of stories that we see on Catfish for the past 11 years over and over again all follow a very similar storyline. And they don't really involve sophisticated lies or complex technological, you know, deception. It's usually pretty straightforward. Someone has some insecurity or issue that they're dealing with that inspires them to create a fake account. They sort of accidentally match with or bump into or get suggested friends with someone. And that friendship and conversation sort of sparks a romantic intimacy. And before they know it, they're 6 months or 6 years into a relationship and they don't know how to tell the truth. Now, obviously, there are lots of people who are using technology to deceive. And they're really scammers, whether it's romance scams or utility scams or car scams. Like there are people out there who are just trying to deceive you. But for the most part, there are a lot of people who do accidentally sort of stumble into these relationships with, you know, no sort of ill intent and then kind of get caught up and it snowballs and they don't know how to get out of it. And I think that's going to continue. Again, if someone's really trying to make a fake profile to deceive you or to trick you, yes, it's easier than ever to do that. But sadly, most of the people that we help on the show are good people who just make one sort of small bad decision that kind of escalates and leads to more bad decisions that gets them sort of wrapped up in this web of lies.
Right. Have you found over the years that the, you know, you said that you usually find with the people who are doing the catfishing that they have some sort of insecurity, you know, there's something going on when they like create this persona for themselves. Have you found anything on the people who get catfished? Is there a sort of pattern that you find that maybe makes them more susceptible?
You know, it's interesting. Yes and no. I think a lot of people assume that, you know, if you get catfished, it means you're a certain type of person, whether it means that you're gullible or lonely. And I don't think that's true. I think everybody is a little gullible and at times lonely, myself included, having been catfished myself. Right. But I think it really can sort of just happen to anyone. And it has happened to so many different types of people. Because everyone shares the same set of insecurities when it comes to themselves, their body, the people that, and their need for love. I mean, we're all looking for the same thing, and we all have the same issues and concerns and fears when it comes to relationships. So what I think happens is when you find love online, it's really the sort of the formula for getting catfished is much more about the variable of the internet than I think it is anything about the people involved. Because there's something I think safe about starting a relationship kind of through the internet, because it feels long distance, it's non-physical, and people are a lot more likely to open up and kind of be themselves, and as a result, be more vulnerable and connect more deeply, which is all good. But the problem is, if you haven't verified the person is who they say they are, it leaves a lot of room for unexpected realities. So that's really, I think what everyone who gets catfish has in common is that it happens on the internet. it sounds kind of dumb and obvious, but I do think it's an important thing to think about, right? Because why is it that we allow ourselves to open up more to people sometimes that we don't know? And what does that tell us about ourselves?
Right. And you know, I'm curious, like if people who are catfished once, like people who are like in a cult, like end up being in a cult again, like if people are catfished once and catfished again, more susceptible to it or something.
No, yeah. I mean, I think the more comfortable you are being yourself and being honest with people in real life, the less likely you are to feel the need to connect with someone in that way on the internet. So maybe that's one of the things that people who get catfished have in common is that they either don't have the friend group or the one person they feel comfortable really sharing themselves with. And that's why they sort of find that connection elsewhere.
Yeah. Now, why do you think that the show after all of these years continues to be such a success and people just love it and they love seeing these lives and these stories told?
I think it's served as a mirror for a lot of people over the years, because looking for love and because navigating the internet are such universal truths and realities for everyone. I think everyone can relate to the show. I think we can all relate to both sides, whether it's having someone tell you something that wasn't true and sort of the sting and hurt of being lied to. And I think a lot of us can relate to misrepresenting ourselves or lying or sort of messing things up in a relationship because of some small insecurity or some lie that we told that we didn't think much of at the time, but sort of snowballed. So I think there's a lot of relatability. And I'm proud to say, I think that we handle the situations and the people on the show with a lot of empathy and objectivity, which are not terms or emotions that get used a lot these days. I think people are very judgmental and harsh on each other and jump to conclusions and don't often give people a chance to explain themselves or consider both sides of the story. And I like that we do that on the show. And I think people are drawn to it. And it's a good reminder that we don't always have to be so hard on ourselves and each other.
100%. Now, also looking at your day-to-day, I saw that you did a little thing with another outlet about just kind of how your day goes. And I saw that you prioritize working out. Have you tried to still like maintain your Dancing with the Stars shape?
I mean, getting Dancing with the Stars was obviously a very unique pocket of time where my job was essentially fitness, you know, between the dancing 4 or 5 hours a day, also then getting a chance to do physical therapy and work out and go for a run. I mean, I was living my sort of best fitness life. Yeah. I have stayed in shape. Obviously traveling for the show and being home with 3 kids makes it a little harder. But I am still running. I'm an Under Armour ambassador now for long distance running. I've partnered with them, which is really awesome because they're sending me to all these great running events all over the world. And I've been continued my marathon sort of, and now trail running and relay race. I'm getting really into all kinds of running. So long distance mostly. So that's been great. And that's been keeping me definitely pretty fit.
I love that. Well, and it's definitely hard. You know, you're probably long distance running, chasing around the 3 kids, I would think.
Yeah, well, that's more of a sprint, but yes.
That helps. It's a very different types of running. But 3 kids at home. And I know you have a very young one, was 17, 18, 19 months, 2 years.
I think he's like 22 months now. He's almost 2. September, he'll be 2.
Oh my gosh. So exciting. So tell me a little bit about just like how your kids each differ from each other and what each one has like taught you about fatherhood and like life differently. Wow. Cause they're each different, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, so our 6-year-old daughter is an angel. We're very lucky to have had her first. To sort of ease us into parenthood. But, you know, even at 6.5 now, or almost 7, you know, I'm starting to see the personality and the sass and the independence sort of bubbling up, which is great. I mean, I love it. But I have no idea how to interact with a young adult female. It's very strange. But she's great. She's patient and understanding, and she's a great big sister to her two little brothers. But our middle son, who's 4 and a half, is me. He's like the very emotional, sensitive, you know, really high highs and really low lows. But so fun and so clever and wonderful. And we love him. And then Sai, who's a baby, like, what a wild experience to be the third kid. And to have to sort of make your way and keep up with and figure out, you know, who you are with two other, you know, older kids, siblings. So he's starting to really kind of show himself and, you know, now that he's starting to talk, it's really cute. All the things that he's interested in, right now it's bubbles. Bubbles are big. Oh. He also loves pointing out dirt anywhere he sees, like whether it's in the bathtub, if he sees a little dirt or hair, like he's like become a little, you know, Roomba. He like loves looking for and identifying anything that could be considered out of place. So that's pretty cute.
Go ahead.
They're all very different. Which is wild and fun to see. And tricky, you know, you have to learn how to handle each of them. And the real interesting thing also is about the combinations, right? So like my wife and I will joke that there are combinations of kids that one person can handle, but there's some combos that are not as easy to handle, you know? So like you take these two, I'll take this one, or you take this and I'll take the other. Knowing how to kind of break them up, divide and conquer has become a bit more of a strategy.
Yeah, you're outnumbered for sure, which is tough. And I know that Laura had opened up back in the kind of winter about that she had a miscarriage. Are you guys hoping for another?
We're not. I think we've agreed now that we're pretty happy and we're so, so lucky to have three healthy, wonderful children. So for the moment, I think we're
good.
We're good.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they're in the best way, a handful.
Although everyone says once you have like three, it doesn't matter anymore. Just like you can have as many as you want.
Exactly.
I think those people are trying to trick you into having more kids. So they're not the only ones
saying that. Right. Like the grandparents are the ones saying that.
Well, no, I mean, if we have more kids, then right now we've just enough that a grandparent can come help out, watch the kids. But if we have another one, then it's like, no way.
They're tapped out too.
Yeah.
You can get a dog.
Yeah. Well, my daughter won't stop asking for a Pomeranian.
That's what we had, Pomeranians.
Oh, well, we'll see. Maybe that'll be our next baby.
Next baby in the family. And then just gearing up for the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars. They've started to like briefly announce some
fun
here and there. Are you still in touch with your fellow competitor?
Yeah, Jenna. Yeah. I still message with Jenna a lot. She had her baby recently. I guess it's already been like 6 months now or something, but I love the show and I've been following it since I was on. I hope she's going to be back this season. I haven't looked at the roster yet. I have a few people from the show that I still stay in touch with, both on the dancing side and the creative side. And I can't wait. I can't wait to watch and see who's on. Secretly hope that they'll first find some strange reason to invite me back for some reunion season.
Have you gotten to meet Jenna and Val's son?
I have not met Romeo, I think, right? Is that his name? I have not yet met him because I'm not out in LA that much. They travel a lot. So between our schedules, it just hasn't happened. But Yeah, we sent them a cute. I can't remember if we sent them a little pair of shoes or some sort of cute thing. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun though that you're still in touch with them and that family is still going strong. Sure. Your season. Well, we are so excited again to have you on today. And of course that you are promoting this great partnership with Auto Trader that everyone should be using.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're looking for a car, start on autotrader.com. You might find the exact one you're looking for and it might just be down the road. So give it a try.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Neve.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome.